Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. 3 weeks ago, President Trump had announced his goal of reopening the economy by May 1st. And I asked Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg on that Monday whether he was ready for that to happen here in Sacramento. And here's what he said 3 weeks ago.
I think from all I know, that the idea of reopening the economy on May 1st is a mistake, because we are caught between two stories here. On the one hand, California and Sacramento have done a very good job on physical distancing and early enough that we are bending that curve. On the other hand, the scientists, who are the people we should listen to, say that if we were to now go back to some form of normal life, that we would run the greatest risk of spiking in terms of infections. In fact, the Los Angeles Times reported, just shocked me, that if Los Angeles was to go back and end the stay-at-home order, that by August the 1st, 95% of the people of Los Angeles would test positive.
That was 3 weeks ago. So now here we are, 4 days into May. The pressure is on. A few California counties, not Sacramento, though, are reopening. Sacramento's mayor is joining us again. And Mayor Steinberg, welcome back to Insight.
Good to be with you, Beth. Good to listen to that old clip.
Yeah, and 3 weeks ago feels really old at this point in time, but
sure does.
Has your view of reopening some sectors of the city shifted in the 3 weeks between then and now?
It has. I think appropriately so. Look at Sacramento leads the nation, at least as a region, when it comes to per capita infection. So we have done an excellent job of protecting the public health.
I'm going to pause you there. Leads the nation in terms of the lowest number of infections per capita,
yes,
just so everyone understands, right?
Yes, of course. And that's, you know, an achievement, but nothing to celebrate for too long, because there are, as we know, a lot of people on the economic side that are hurting. And of course, even with that low rate, people have died and people have gotten ill, but it still shows that we have done our part. Now the conversation is shifting, and appropriately so, to rebalance in a way that gets people back to work, that gets as many businesses open as possible. And I can tell you with some good authority that in the next couple of days, there are going to be some significant announcements and the opportunity to reopen retail, manufacturing, childcare, and even to begin to have the conversation about restaurants, about movie theaters, and other places where it is possible, with the right kinds of safety protocols, to slowly begin to open back up.
The governor has indicated he's ready to make some of those announcements. He specifically said retail and hospitality, along with the sectors you identified. What can or might Sacramento do as a city or county separate from that?
Well, I think what the governor will do is give the counties the ability to look at their own numbers, their own trends, and then make a decision that is within the permissible, within the parameters of the order. In other words, the governor, I don't think, will say, all right, statewide, everybody open up in the same way, because states, counties, are being affected numbers-wise in different ways. But I think he will give us, as a county, the ability to determine how fast we want to go back. And the temptation, of course, will be, let's open everything like it was. And I reiterate what I said 3 weeks ago. Doing it that way would be a mistake, because just because we have had these very good numbers does not mean that that will continue. We have to go back, But we have to go back slowly and with the right kinds of protocols, the personal protective equipment, ensuring that we have enough room in our hospitals and our healthcare system. But I think we can get this right. And hope is around the corner for a lot of small businesses and a lot of working people.
Mayor Steinberg, let me read two different headlines from the Sacramento Bee. And this is just from the Sunday paper. One reads, Sacramento has the lowest coronavirus infection rate of any large U.S. metro area. And you already mentioned that story. Of the 50 top metro areas, Sacramento comes out the best with this low rate of 62 cases per 100,000 residents. In the same newspaper is the headline, Coronavirus Ravages City Budgets in the Sacramento Area, along with multiple stories about the economic pummeling that is happening in various parts of the city and neighborhoods and businesses. Do you have any regrets about the way this was navigated based on where we are in that picture today?
Not at all, because there was no choice. There are some things you can control and other things that you can't. And this virus, of course, is something that nobody in this city, in this county, in the region, the state, the country, or the world could actually control. And so I think we took absolutely the right steps. There was no playbook for this. Still the greatest experts, Fauci, all of the others, cannot tell you absolute cause and effect here. And so I think we should take some pride in the fact that we have the lowest per capita infection rate in the country, but only celebrate for a moment, if that, because now the work of recovery and making sure that we recover in ways that does not change that infection number progresses. And that's going to be even harder work going forward because we have a very delicate set of decisions around, for example, in Sacramento, how we invest our $89 million of federal stimulus to make sure that we balance helping those with immediate need versus ensuring we use the money for sustained economic growth to ensure that we're doing so in an inclusive way. We have a lot of work to do, so it's just beginning. And I have no regrets because I think our county and our city have handled it exactly the right way. I think the governor has handled it exactly the right way. The fact that there are protests out there, even though I think the way the protests have occurred with people congregating so closely together is unacceptable, the fact that people are frustrated and unhappy, completely expected and in fact understandable in and of itself. This is uncharted water. Now it's about maintaining safety, but being aggressive about the economic recovery.
Sometime today, Sacramento County Public Health Department will update the number of cases. The last update was on April 27th. And since then, until as of the numbers Sunday afternoon tracking them, there were 40 new positive cases and two deaths in that time frame. I'd like to get a sense of how you see the numbers, with Sacramento County confirming 1,117 total cases. I know that ranking is sitting out there and the headlines are encouraging, but how do you see this numbers and the, by health measures, tenuous time we're in right now in making decisions about reopening?
Well, first of all, you always have to acknowledge every life matters, and people dying of this in our county, anywhere. These are families. These are tragedies, individual tragedies. The numbers are good, but when you look at that headline that you referenced this weekend about our leading the nation in terms of lowest number of infections, it's a very temporary pat on the back because it's all about what you do going forward. And what we know is that we've done well because of what we have done. Now, we cannot continue this forever because, frankly, the economic and health impacts of continuing to have a shuttered economy will, over time, outweigh the coronavirus impacts on health. But if we don't do it in the right way, and we see a spike in the number of people hospitalized, ill, and dying, then we will go back to more restrictive orders that will make it then harder for us to come back economically. And so, as frustrating as it is, and as much as all of us have that instinct, I know I do, you know, or that desire, let's open now because we can get back to normal and more people can get back to work. Doing it in that way would be a mistake. Just as 3 weeks ago, I said, not shutting down would have been a mistake. Now I will say two things. One, not reopening would be a mistake. Reopening too fast would be a more serious mistake.
Hmm. Can I push you a little bit on when you think the announcement from the governor will come? Might it be today?
Could be. It could be. I think in the next day or two, certainly. And it's not just that the pressure is enormous. We all are calibrating here with the public safety, but also and the public health, but also the dramatic economic harm that is happening to people in real time. And so I think the next couple of days, he hinted at it on Friday. I think this week, in the next few days, there will be very specific announcements with very specific timetables.
Before I let you go, I do want to talk about the food effort in the city, which has been ongoing and is such a tapestry, Mayor Steinberg, as it is in many, many cities across the region. I think the FEMA portion of the project is about to kick off this week. Students were being fed on the Sac State campus last week in their independent efforts. And in the midst of all of this, the news that one of the food restaurant fine dining institutions in the city, Biba, is going to close its doors. It was painful enough to lose her a year ago and mark her passing. And now the closing of this restaurant is so iconic. Your time and my time from the 80s till now, it was really a statement on Sacramento.
Well, we all stand on the shoulders of those that come before us, and certainly when it comes to Sacramento's incredible food scene, all who lead stand on the shoulders of Biba and Lena Fatt and some of the other pioneers, even Randy Perigary, who is thankfully still out there doing what he does so well. And the closing of Biba is, yes, the end of an era, but if she were alive, she would probably say, in this era, do everything that you can to help those who are struggling, who have a dream, who have a vision, and who want to, and who believe in Sacramento as the next great, in fact, the great food scene in Northern California. I know that she would. And so Biba will live and will always be remembered. And then on the broader food network issue, I've got to say, when we look back on this chapter, I will say with real pride that Sacramento led the way when it came to food distribution, because we have been on it from the very beginning. And whether it's raising money for the food bank, whether it's standing up the pre-FEMA restaurant, connecting restaurants with families and with seniors, and now we can go big because FEMA is going to reimburse 75%, the state 19%, we'll kick in some of our stimulus dollars, and we're going to involve a lot of restaurants and feed thousands of seniors. And we'll have a big announcement about this Wednesday or Thursday, but we've really done well in this area. And food insecurity has emerged as a huge issue. And, you know, on the one hand, it's galling that in this society that anyone should worry about eating, but it's real, and we're stepping up.
Could I ask you about participation? Of course, some restaurants have had to close their doors, and Randy Perigary was one who could not do the to-go situation. But what about those who are able to join in this FEMA effort?
So we already have tremendous interest from the restaurants, and it's going to be, we're going to have to stage this because We believe there are about 15,000 seniors that could benefit from this program who qualify. But it's going to take a little while to ramp up, and so we're probably going to go in three or four different stages. I think we'll begin with 25 or 30 restaurants, and we're trying to spread them out throughout the city so that we are really intentional about inclusion and diversity. And then ramp up over time. They extended this from FEMA extended this from May the 10th for another month to June the 10th, and I would expect it could go longer than that. And so we'll include as many restaurants as we can because we want to help them, but we also want to get to 15,000 seniors.
Hmm. All right. We could take every day of the week and talk about a different aspect of this effort.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, the landline sounds great, so we'll check in again soon. Thank you so much.
I know we will, Beth. Thanks for all you're doing. Bye-bye.
All right. You take care. That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. We're going to put a bit of a spotlight on one of the independent food projects in Sacramento. It's been up and going for a while. It's called Sac Family Meal, and Chef Kevin Ritchie of Mulvaney's B&L is on the phone. Hi, Chef Kevin. How are you today?
I'm great, Beth. How are you? Thanks
Glad to
me.
Have you. Also, Chef Brad Checkey is with us. He is with Cannon in East Sacramento, another regional favorite. Hi, Chef Brad. Glad to have you with us as well.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
So somebody explained Sac Family Meal to me from their perspective, and maybe Chef Kevin, you need to start, because I've heard Patrick Mulvaney say the shutdown orders came, the doors closed, and everybody sat for a week and thought, huh, what are we going to do? You want to pick it up from there?
So it was not only what are we going to do, but it was how are we going to do it? So there was a lot of food still. It happened so fast that there was a lot of food still in the restaurant. Patrick said, how are we going to, how what would it look like to do four meals in a bag, do 100 meals with each bag of four? And what would that look like? And so we came in on Monday morning and put together all this food. And then next thing we're out it goes. And so we've been working very hard to make sure that everybody's getting the right things out to everyone.
Chef Brad, do you want to explain what Sac Family Meal is doing? When Kevin says everyone, who's everyone? Who are you feeding right now, and what are they getting in the deliveries?
So yeah, when we designed the Sac Family Meal program, we designed it so that it was a malleable program. So we partnered with the city very early on to feed the elderly community and their SHRA housing, and in that particular program, we are providing, the bags, like Kevin said, are four meals in one box. So it's one meal for a family of four. It could also be four meals for a single occupancy resident, like for example with our SHRA program. So we're delivering every Tuesday upwards of 3,000 meals out into the community to our elderly residents. On Fridays, we are partnered with the Mercy Housing Project. And so on Fridays, we're delivering meals to families. So the way that the program was designed to be very malleable based on the end user and the person in need. These meals are not necessarily the fine dining cuisine you might see at Mulvaney's or Cannon or Camden Spit and Larder or Laura or Benchiaki. These are very simple, wholesome meals that are something that somebody can reheat at home. They're fully cooked and ready to go. And, again, really approachable things.
And Kevin, the key to this is making it sustainable. So you've had to have underwriting, which is coming in big and small. I think Alora, for example, is assisted with some funding from a church in the neighborhood, and it's coming in from a variety of ways. But how long can this go on?
Well, I mean, philanthropy has a lot to do with it. But now that we've got some money from FEMA, it's going to be a lot more sustainable. From the very beginning, we were able to get donations from across across the board. Ginger Elizabeth was donating cookies, and Cape A Valley was donating oranges and asparagus, and all over the place. We just saw the love coming in from everyone, but that can only last for so long.
So at this point, people have kept their jobs, I understand, at the restaurants that have been hired. For example, what's happening at Mulvaney's and what's happening at Cannon? Brad, do you want to start?
Yeah, so when we started this program, like Kevin said, we were able to get up and running with the Family Meal Initiative in a week. So Sunday, the governor announced the closure. That Monday, we all met and came up with a loose plan. The following Monday, Kevin and I started making food. And so that starting that Monday, we had furloughed our entire staff. Clay Netting, my partner, and I were the only ones working. And starting that Monday, we were able to bring back our entire kitchen staff. At this point, our entire kitchen staff has been working just under 40 hours a week for the last 5.5-6 weeks.
Wow.
Go ahead. Our front of the house staff has been kind of picking up hours where they can, but our kitchen staff has remained fully employed.
I want you to jump in, Kevin, but it's a pretty interesting interface going forward when people are still going to be at home for safety and needing to be fed. However, there's a possibility that your restaurant may be reopening in some form to the public. And is it sustainable enough that you're able to walk both parallel tracks for a while?
We're not really sure. If this is the program that we're able to do, then this is great. And of course, we want to get back to seeing our guests as soon as possible. But the challenge is to retain the safety for our staff and respect social distancing until that's all in the clear. So, we're lucky enough at the B&L that we have a lot of space. We have the next door catering area as well as the restaurant and the patio. So we can not only right now, we can spread our staff out to different parts of the restaurant and keep, one cook in the kitchen and one cook out manning the big outside barbecue. But what that looks like when we return, we're not really sure yet. It's something that we're talking about with our front of the house staff and as well as our employees.
Okay, Kevin, tell me about some of the messages, some of the thank yous for the way this is happening and the people receiving the food.
Oh, well, that's tough. I mean, it's not tough, but it's, you're going to get me all choked up here. We've seen just an outpouring of love from the community, but there was a woman who had called and she had said, I've been wanting to come to your restaurant forever, but it was just something we couldn't afford. And when I heard that your meals had gotten to us, it was like a dream come true. We were so humbled and loved the fact that we could try your food, and it was part of something that you were doing just out of the goodness of your heart. So it was really nice. It's really nice to get you don't always hear that from everyone. And so when you have someone call the restaurant and reach out and say, hey, thank you. I've been wanting to come to your restaurant for years, but I was able to eat your food through the miracle of this program. Hmm.
That's Chef Kevin Ritchie of Mulvaney's B&L. And how about you, Brad, these messages from people coming in?
Yeah, I mean, the messages are, there's a lot of grateful people out there. We don't see a lot of people face-to-face because of the logistics of the program, not seeing the end user. But the outpouring of support from the community has been unreal. People saying that like they haven't had a chance also to eat at Cannon, or that they have eaten at Cannon before and now have received some of this some of these Family Meal Initiative boxes. Just their contact in general shows an outpouring of support and positivity out in the community. That we can't wait to see these people face to face, and thank them for their support as well.
And that's Chef Brad Checkey of Cannon in East Sacramento. Thank you both so much. Thanks for all that you're doing for folks. And we'll post a link to find out more information or whichever way people want to connect with you. Hopefully we can help in making that happen. Thank you both and stay safe. Take care.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
That is Brad Checkey and Kevin Ritchie, and you can find a link to more about SAC Family Meal at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, and The Uplift is next.